This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. This is episode 157 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max.
How are you, David?
I'm good. I survived a convention. We're sort of returning to normal here in Philadelphia. I'm looking forward to tonight. We've got a lot of stories, and a lot of it involves the White House.
It does. It does. You know, what with Part 107 and all the unmanned aviation research taking place, and now the recent actions of the United States government as well as some others, it really feels like we're making progress, that it's really starting to accelerate now.
You think we would have actually said that 6 months ago?
No, I am much more optimistic now. Although the lead time for a lot of these things that we're going to talk about this episode are pretty significant. This stuff doesn't happen right away. We're talking about into 2017, 2018, as far out as 2020. That's years, and we'd all like to see these things happen quicker. But I think the pace is accelerating.
It's kind of like that building you drive by every day that doesn't seem to happen, and then the next morning it suddenly appears.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the way I sort of feel about this. But yeah, it's hard to believe that 6 months ago we would be talking about this, and we were just talking about the notice of proposed rulemaking. So, I mean, we've come a long way since then, but we should get started. We'll talk about the U.S. steps up the commitment to UAS. A 2.5-ounce ADS-B solution, drones that obstruct firefighting wildfires, and drones that help fight wildfires. We also have a video of the week celebrating sort of the Olympics in Rio. And I guess we better get started because we got a lot of White House news to talk about. Our big story this week is White House announces new UAS commitments made across the board. And this is from Ken, our Slack listener. White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, the OSTP, workshop on drones and future aviation. So we got a lot to talk about. The White House hit a lot of points this week about UAVs, which is kind of good and surprising, I guess.
They sure did. And these are activities that government agencies are going to be taking, and as well as a number of activities that private companies in the drone industry are going to be taking. And we'll kind of go through a lot of these just to kind of give you a flavor for really how much was discussed at this workshop. We can start out with the NSF, the National Science Foundation. They're going to receive $35 million to research how UAS can be deployed for applications like infrastructure inspections, disaster response, agricultural, and studying severe storms. Then over at the U.S. Department of the Interior, they're going to use unmanned aircraft to support search and rescue operations, augment their manned aircraft operations, and also improve government processes around technological adoption. Boy, there's an area that needs some work, I think.
You know, and they're throwing money at the problem, which is really kind of amazing.
Speaking of money, yes, New York. They're going to get a piece of this pie, too.
New York got $5 million to support the growth of the UAS industry in the state, and a commitment from the S industry associations to implement educational programs, efforts for privacy best practices.
It's really nice that we have initiatives, but we also have initiatives with cash, which is not normally how this stuff works. I don't know where we went right, Max.
There's also an announcement that came during this event from the FAA about the creation of a drone advisory committee. This is an unmanned aircraft safety team, a UAST, that the FAA is going to charter. Now, this is supposed to be similar to the commercial aviation safety team that already exists. But this team is going to be a group of government and industry stakeholders, and they will analyze safety data, develop non-regulatory interventions to mitigate potential causes of accidents involving unmanned aircraft. We have an article on this particular advisory committee from marytalk.com, and buried in there, David, was a really interesting statistic, at least interesting to me. And they say in this article that over the 100-year history of aviation in the United States, that's over 100 years, the number of people who have registered to operate manned aircraft has been 320,000. Okay, that's over 100 years. Over the past 8 months, 520,000 people have registered to use UAVs. Just amazing the number of people who have some interest in unmanned aircraft is it's kind of staggering.
It's very impressive, though. I was very disappointed that you and I did not get the call for the unmanned aircraft safety team advisory board. You would think that, you know, you and I being experts, that we would be at the top of their list. But this is really cool. And kudos to the FAA. We sort of snickered at the registration system back in December when it was rushed into full mode. But 520,000 people registering their drones is really, really impressive in only 6 months.
It kind of exceeded what I thought the situation was going to look like. Another really interesting and important item from this workshop was that the FAA plans to propose rules for operating small UAS over people by this winter, so that winter 2016. And that would start
winter 2017.
Do you count the winter from the beginning of the winter or the end of the winter? The next winter as we record this, right? And then that will launch off the request for public comment. So, I mean, that's a big area, I think, UAS operating over people. Maybe the other big area is being is beyond line of sight. But we'll have more about that in a couple of minutes.
But Max, let's face it. We actually had quality comments from our industry for the notice of proposed rules making.
Yes.
Quality comments.
But it's even more than that, I think, David, in that when we looked at the Part 107 document and the FAA talked about specific comments that it had received in, you know, all the different areas. Also, they talked about how the FAA came to a decision or a conclusion, either accepting the recommendation or the ideas of the commenters or not, but providing the rationale either way. It really showed us all that the comments are, well, like you say, are very high quality generally, but also maybe even most significantly, that the FAA really did listen, consider, and respond to those comments. So when we have this next comment period coming at the end of this year or beginning of next year over concerning flying over people, I think it'd be very important for everyone to consider commenting on that, providing their ideas.
And providing good comments and knowing that the FAA is actually paying attention, which right. is one feeds off the other, a good symbiotic relationship. You know, good comments required the FAA to do good responses, and good responses came from good comments. So definitely when that comes out, I hope our quality standards for our industry are exemplary like they were last time.
Yeah.
But let's talk about my favorite place in the world, NASA. NASA's getting money, too. NASA will lead a research to detect and avoid and command and control technologies by 2020 that can lead to standards. Well, we know that after me being at Langley and other conversations we've had, they're well on their way on that game. But it is nice to know that the White House is recognizing NASA, that they need money to do this, and to give them money is a good thing. The other thing is the NASA and the FAA are launching a standards data exchange working group under the UAS Traffic Management, or the UTM program, to develop common data format for sharing information between UAS operators and UTM users. And those recommendations are going to be released in fiscal year 2017. So that's not that far off. That's August of next year.
Yeah, common data format standards for communicating information, of course, are critical. Otherwise, you can't integrate systems. That's very, very important. NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, has some action here as well. This is an interesting area that I really don't know a lot about, but they're going to begin collecting additional gravity measurements that allow them to improve the measurement of surface elevations over the United States. And to do that, they're going to use aircraft that can be remotely piloted or manned, optionally manned aircraft to do that. And as a result of this new vertical elevation reference system, if you will, that'll improve things like floodplain mapping and also mitigate risks for coastal communities from things like hurricanes and storm surges and that sort of thing. So this is an example of, in this case, NOAA, a government agency, using unmanned aircraft to help fulfill the mission that they have. So, I mean, that's another kind of activity. I mean, some of the things that we've seen and we'll see going forward here involve doing some research, figuring out how to do something that we can't do now. This is an example of using UAVs to accomplish a core mission for a government agency. So that's I like that a lot.
We like NOAA. NOAA's good.
Yep.
But let's talk about the DOI, or the Department of Interior. They're going to develop and maintain a training program for the use of UAS in search and rescue by October 2018. That's awesome. You know, we've talked about SAR with drones and their ability to find people quickly and with minimal risk to people with pilots or et cetera, you know. So that's a good thing. By December 2017, augment manned aircraft missions by developing payloads that can be flown by UAS and share near real-time fire location information with the public by July 2017. And this goes back to DJI wanting to have a real-time fire suppression geofence for their aircraft or for their drones. If the Department of Interior says X marks the spot and that's a wildfire, don't fly over it, and you're flying a DJI Phantom, for example, you're going to be geofenced out of that area unless you sign a waiver. And then at that point, they're going to know who's flying, preventing aircraft to suppress that fire. So that's really good integration between the technology and what's out there. So let's move on to the next department. It's amazing how many departments were touched by UASs, isn't it?
It really is. In this case, it's the U.S. Postal Service. And you say, that's interesting. What role might they have? Well, they are tasked with publishing some analysis and findings of public opinion on drone delivery systems. In the private sector, moving on to that, there are a lot of companies that are going to be doing a lot of activities. We see Zipline International is going to provide demonstrations of using UAVs to deliver medical supplies to hard-to-reach areas. Now, that's something that we've seen Flirty do, but Flirty has a role as well.
Flirty is going to focus on humanitarian applications for drone delivery. So it's not just drugs. It's, I guess, food supplies, medical supplies, blankets, etc. So they're just broadening out their you know,
but I don't think Slurpees count, do you, Max?
It's a good publicity payload, but I think there's others that are, probably provide more value, particularly from a humanitarian standpoint. And then we also see the Commercial Drone Alliance. They're going to lead an effort to educate the American public on the integration of UAS into the national airspace system. And then AMA, the Academy of Model Aeronautics, as well as AUVSI, the Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International, will be teaming up with Sinclair Broadcast Group. And they are going to develop and broadcast drone safety public service announcements. So I think that's great. And then we see Alphabet, which means Google, their Project Wing. They've got some action here as well.
Yeah, they're going to begin testing beyond visual line of sight for delivery drones. And they're working with the White House. They picked three of the original test centers to develop this technology, which will be Washington, Nevada, and Maryland. And they want to work on drone delivery. But it's nice to know that they're actually testing here in the United States and using the test sites that we've sort of worried about over the last 6 months to a year that sort of got created and nothing seemed to be happening at them. But it sounds like Google is or Alphabet is actually looking to leverage those test sites so they can work on their drone delivery issues.
And it's great to see them doing this sort of thing within the United States, because as we've reported in the past, you know, we've seen companies that are really unable to do the kinds of development and testing work in the United States that they would really like to do. And so they've done that in other countries. So bringing that back into the U.S., I think, is important. There's an article in The Verge that talks about this a bit. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. The humorous part of that article in The Verge is, of course, if you have an article, you've got to have a lead photo. And the lead photo that The Verge picked to talk about Alphabet and their delivery drones inside the U.S. at test centers article, the photo is actually the flirty drone delivering the 7-Eleven items that we described last week.
Slurpees!
Yeah, so I guess the...
Well, you know what, Max? We've come a long way. If we were, we started this show, it would have been a Reaper or a Predator firing a Hellfire. So, I mean, let's give the media props. They at least got a hexacopter that was delivering Slurpees, even though it wasn't really the right thing. But we've come a long way in our 2 years, 3 years that we've been doing this.
So just quickly, a few of the other companies and organizations that are going to be performing some tasks under this whole initiative. We see the Drone Racing League is going to look at best practices for the drone racing industry, things like event guidelines, safety measures, things like that. Precision Hawk is announcing its Phase 1 Pathfinder results that demonstrates the safety of extended visual line of sight operations for drones in rural areas. A couple of organizations, the Women of Commercial Drones Organization and the Commercial Drone Alliance, are going to collaborate to advance women's participation in the UAV industry. Great to see that.
And if anybody listens to this show that belongs to the Women of Commercial Drones Organization, get in touch with us because we want to talk to you. And of course, we can't mention an episode without a DJI supporting 4-H National Youth Science Day in October 2016. This year's theme is drone discovery to inspire kids and young adults to explore science, technology, and engineering in more depth. Drones for STEM, you know, it's like our friends over at the Kashmir Foundation. You know, the best way to get people involved with science is give them a drone and have them build it and fly it. And last but not least is Drone Base and Drones for Good, announcing partnerships to provide transitioning military veterans with training programs and apprenticeships to start a career in the commercial drone industry. I just think that's awesome. You know, we have a lot of veterans that are coming back and are looking to utilize their skills. And this is really cool that we're leveraging our veterans into the drone industry. You know, good for them.
Absolutely. Now, there's a fact sheet that is available at whitehouse.gov that talks about all of these things and some we didn't mention. It's titled New Commitments to Accelerate the Safe Integration of Unmanned Aircraft Systems. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes. If you'd like to read about the ones that we discussed in more detail, because a lot of them we just kind of glossed over, as well as look at the items that we didn't mention, take a look at this fact sheet. It provides a lot of really great information.
We've come a long way, Max.
We have.
A very long way.
Now, one way that we've come, and this we were tipped off to this from our or by our friend Rob Mark, is an ADS-B solution that weighs 2.5 ounces. Now, we've talked about looking at how do drones see manned aircraft, how do manned aircraft see drones. Well, in the manned aviation world, we have this thing coming called ADS-B. And, gee, wouldn't it be nice if we could fit ADS-B onto drones? The only problem is they're big, heavy, consume a lot of power, electricity, and very expensive. But there's something new here.
UAvionics ADS-B solution weighs 2.5 ounces. Now, this is from Flying Mag, and I love the fact that our anti-drone pilot is now having to write about drones.
He has no choice, David. I mean, you can't ignore them. You just can't. So UAvionics showed off this little micro ADS-B device at AirVenture Oshkosh, and that really created quite a lot of interest on the part of the experimental and light sport aircraft crowd, because this is potentially a way for them to satisfy the coming FAA requirement inexpensively, or at least a lot less expensively than they had been anticipating. We also see that DJI and UAvionics are going to collaborate on a developer kit. And we have an article here from unmannedsystemstechnology.com that talks about that.
$99 for an ADS-B, which is just amazingly awesome. I love the fact that they also presented it at AirVenture. I mean, AirVenture Oshkosh, if you are in the UAV industry and you're not basically into general aviation, Oshkosh is the largest air show in the world. It's a real convention. For UAvionics to introduce this to the general aviation public at Oshkosh was really, really powerful, because it shows that they're thinking about both general aviation and the UAV industry. And it's really, really cool. And the fact that DJI has picked up on it, you know that it's on the mark. In tribute to our co-host, Rob, it's on point. It's on mark. They're combining the two, and DJI is the leading edge. If they picked it up, then you know it's got to be a quality product.
And the fact that they're going to introduce a developer kit is really significant, because what that means is that the ADS-B device would be able to communicate directly with the embedded computer on the DJI drone. And that means that a developer could write application-specific avoidance code depending on what the mission of the drone is, so that depending on where you're flying, what you're doing with it, what might be around it, that might determine the kind of evasive action that you might take if it detects that, you know, there's a manned aircraft in the same airspace. So this is very, very powerful, because it's not just a one size fits all scenario. It's again is allowing developers to write custom software that's applicable to the mission that the drone is flying. So this is I think this is really, really big. We're looking forward to seeing how this progresses for sure. But David, we've got a couple other news items that we wanted to mention before we close out.
Yeah, we do. One of the things that we've talked about is drones interfering with wildfires. But we actually have a story from NPR, and this was from our friend Micah on our Slack team. Drones that launch flaming balls are being tested to help prevent wildfires. It doesn't make very much sense if you don't really know that wildfires are best stopped by fires.
Fire. You use fire to stop wildfires.
Which you do a burn to eliminate the material to catch fire to prevent a wildfire. Well, they've been dropping glycol-filled balls via helicopters. Well, in this case, the University of Nebraska is looking to use small UASs to do the same thing for safety reasons.
Mm. It's safer, certainly less expensive than using a helicopter to do this sort of thing. But what a great idea. You just use drones to drop these little flammable things to create the controlled burns that, as you say, David, consume the fuel that the fire would otherwise use in order to keep a wildfire from spreading. Great idea.
And one of the things they said was it costs about $200,000 to get a helicopter deployed to a fire zone and then use it. You know, drones, you can do it so much quicker and so much cheaper, you know, and there's no loss of life. You know, you don't have a manned vehicle operating over the fire to set other fires. So this is really good. But unfortunately, we also have to add something to your grounded files, which are drones were interfering with the Range 12 firefighting efforts, crews say. Range 12 was a wildfire in Washington State that's, as we record this, is now under control. But the pilots were spending more time with their heads on a swivel looking for UAVs. And several times they were called off from the fire because people were trying to get photographs of the fire from the UAVs. And if you listen to this show, do Max and I both a favor, as well as the rest of the world. If there's a wildfire near you, don't fly your drone, please.
You'd think that people would have gotten the word by now.
And to emphasize the point, there was a quote from a Bureau of Land Management spokesman, Randall Risch, who said, quote, "I've been on the ground with a tool in my hands where you have a fire coming right at you. You need that helicopter making that drop right in front of you to help it slow down so you can dig that line. Then there's a drone. That helicopter has to leave. It's like watching your saving grace fly away. You know, don't do this to these guys. These guys are fighting fires left and right. They're digging ditches. They're trying to save people's lives and property. Don't fly your damn drone over that area. It's just not worth it. As much as the footage is going to be nice, it's just not worth it."
Absolutely.
Well, we've got a video of the week, and I went searching, and it's not really the best video of the week, but I thought it was kind of appropriate because it'll be the next 4 years before we can do this again. And on Friday, as we release this, the 2016 Rio Olympics are starting, and we have drone footage that shows you the venues of the Olympics that are happening in Rio. Now, it's not the best drone footage, and it has a lot of art on top of it to show you what the venues are and stuff. But, you know, it'll be another 4 years before we get drone footage from an Olympics. Though I have a feeling, though, NBC is going to use a lot of drone footage. They've already said it, and General Electric has also said it, that there are going to be a lot of... So maybe next week's video of the week will actually be drone footage from the actual Olympics. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, we'll watch for that. Yeah, I bet that the coverage will be greatly enhanced through the use of the aerial perspective. So absolutely looking forward to that. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this episode. As always, we want to thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. We try to do this for you. This has been episode 157, so you can find show notes for the episode at theuavdigest.com/157.
Before we go, I want to give a shout out. If you know someone who'd like to be a guest or know somebody who might be a good guest for the show, please reach out to me, david@theuavdigest.com. I've been sort of slacking on the guest thing because we've had so much news, but we do want to bring guests back on to the show at least every other episode or try to get back on that track. So I apologize to all of our listeners that I've been slacking off on that, but if you know somebody that might make a good guest, or if you think you might be a good guest, definitely give me a call or an email at david@theuavdigest.com. And of course, our website is theuavdigest.com. You can find us on Twitter @theuavdigest. We want you to join our Slack team. We seem to have a lot more people joining up and people have a really good time. And you can do that via theuavdigest.com/team, or just send us an email at theuavdigest.com and say, I want to be part of the Slack team. Of course, there's Facebook, which is UAV Digest. iTunes, leave us a review. That way other people can find us. Likewise, it's Stitcher or Google Play. And if you listen to us on Google Play, let us know. We're interested to find out what our listener base is on there. Swag, you can do at cafepress.com/theuavdigest. You can get t-shirts and cup holders and mailbags. And last but not least, you can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/theuavdigest. And all of those links, as well as our sponsors, are on our website at theuavdigest.com. So I guess with that, I'm going to say this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thank you so much for listening.